Amen. Let's all stand this morning for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read verses 13 through 20. Matthew 16, 13 through 20. We'll read these responsively. I'll read verse 13. We'll read 14 together. I'll read 15. We'll read 16 together, and then we'll finish back and forth until we finish together on verse 20. Say amen when you found that scripture this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." You may be seated.
Amen. This morning's message, its title is, "I Will Build My Church." I will build my church. Here in Matthew chapter 16, we see Jesus Christ speaking with his disciples, asking them who they thought he was, who they heard other men say that he was. And Peter says, "Thou art Jesus, thou art the Son of God, thou art the Christ." And a couple verses down, Jesus says that upon this rock I will build my church. And he's talking about himself, the Son of God. Upon that rock would he build his church. Look at 1 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And we're going to look at verse 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 9 through 11. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." So he said he's laid the foundation. He's about to tell us who the foundation is for those who have accepted Christ as Savior. Verse number 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid," which is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he's the rock of our salvation. He is the foundation of our salvation. That sounds good. He's the foundation of our salvation. Amen? And he's the foundation of the church. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. It is salvation found only in him and through him. Without Jesus Christ's death on the cross, there is no salvation for mankind. Jesus, the Word of God, expects his church to continue teaching and preaching about him. I know maybe that's kind of, you know, a no-brainer, but that's something Jesus Christ expects his church to continue teaching and preaching about him. Churches that cease to preach the Word of God will eventually cease to be a church. Anywhere from 3,850 to 7,700 churches close their doors every year. In America, anywhere from 3,850 to 7,700 churches in America close their doors every year. But long before those doors closed, the Word of God was closed in the auditorium and closed in those people's homes. Psalms 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain." Someone recently told me they had walked into a church that they had known, and at one point it was a thriving church. It was vibrant. It was once alive. Souls were being saved and baptized there. The Word of God was preached there. It was preached fervently with zeal for the Lord. They had a Bible verse on the wall in that church like we do downstairs. Ours has been temporarily taken down in preparation of the wall being fixed. But it was the same verse that we have downstairs. Proverbs 29:18. "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And as we've looked at that verse, we see that the vision that is being talked about there is the Word of God. And where there is no Word of God, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And when that man walked into that church that had once been thriving and once been vibrant, he saw that verse up on the wall, but the W had fallen off of the where. And that verse read, "Here there is no vision. The people perish." Dads and moms, are you trying to build your family, your home, in your own might or in the power of God's might? Is the Bible referred to in your home? Is it special in your home, the Word of God? Is it read in your home? You know, praise the Lord, Victory Baptist Church has now been here for 36 years. 36 years. But we're really a young church. I mean, how many of you would like to be 36 again? All the ladies are like, "I'm still 25, Pastor, so." 36, that's really not that old. We have not yet reached our full potential as a church. I truly believe that the greatest days of Victory Baptist Church are still before us. Amen. God is not through with us here as a church. He's just beginning to use us. Souls have been saved. Lives have been changed. Families and individuals have grown spiritually. The Lord has added to the church. God has been magnified. The gospel has been proclaimed. And we have not yet begun to fight Satan and the gates of hell. We're just getting started. I mean, when you think about it, when you're 36, you're like, "Man, I'm just getting started in life." Well, our church is just getting started. We're still a young spring chicken. Amen? We're just getting started. Our church debt is a good way to judge how things are going. It's a good way to judge kind of where we are as a church, how things are going. And 8 years ago, when I became pastor, the church mortgage was around $150,000 at one point. And today, this morning, it is $89,924.81. $89,000, folks, we've never been in the 80s.
Nope.
This is good news.
Amen.
Like I said, when you get in the 80s, it's like skis. You just go. And I just want to praise the Lord. We were able to put $1,200 on the principal of the mortgage this month without a special love offering, without any extra sacrificial giving. By God's grace, we were able to do that. And let me just praise the Lord and thank you for your generosity to the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. Thank you for loving God and His ministry and His work and giving to the Lord. We're making a difference. And let me just say, if things keep going the way that they're going, the next month we'll be able to put $1,200 on the principal. And the next month, $1,200 on the principal. I mean, we could put $14,000 on the principal of our mortgage every year without a sacrificial offering. Say bye-bye debt.
Yep.
Amen. Hello, freedom. How many of you just love having credit card debt? That's just something you enjoy. How many of you just love getting that mortgage bill in the mail every month and like, "Oh, yay," or the rent bill? Wouldn't it be nice for that to go away? I can't wait for the day. And Brother Spiegelmeyer, we're going to have a mortgage burning ceremony, I've told you before, and you get to light the match. Okay? And Brother Mike Kreiner can blow on it and make... I will use the lighter fluid. Yeah, we're going to get some pallets, and you thought you've seen a bonfire before. Man, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. Bring your hot dogs, okay? Look, God's blessing our church. By God's grace, we were able to give out $53,000 worth of food last year through our food bank. Amen. Praise God. He's not done with us. That's from July to July. At 36 years old, we're still a young church. We're still maturing. We're still growing. And the Lord will continue to build this church, His church, through His word. That's how it happens, through this book. If we're going to continue to grow, it's going to be through this book. Amen? The church grows as a unit. It grows as a unit. As the members of the church grow spiritually and they become disciples of Christ, followers of Christ in their everyday lives, Christ can add new members to that church because they have the ability to take care of the new members and provide spiritual guidance because they're taking care of themselves. You can't help new members spiritually if you aren't helping yourself by being in the Word of God yourself. Amen? Amen. Let me just say, if you desire to see this church continue to grow and to move forward, that'll motivate you and push you to get in your Bible. If you desire peace in your home, that would motivate you and push you to open your Bible and read it at home. Dead churches are full of dead members who don't read their Bible at home, who don't pray for the other members of the church, who don't come to church looking for what God has for them every service, and who are ready to change whatever God tells them to change when He just whispers and talks to them. A sure sign of individual spiritual growth is unity in the church. There are so many jokes out there about disunity in the churches, aren't there? There's a lot of jokes about, and it wouldn't be funny if it wasn't true. Perhaps you've heard the joke about that the camel was a result of a Baptist committee who got together trying to make a mule. That's a cow. Yeah, right? There's so much disunity in the churches that it's funny, but that's not really funny. Amen? And individual spiritual growth, a result of that is unity in the church. If you find a church that's unified, people in that church are reading their Bible. If you find a church that's unified, people in that church are on their knees in prayer one for another. Amen? I believe we have a unified church, but if we're going to stay that way, we have to stay in God's word. Amen. We have to stay on our knees in prayer. Disunity is caused by an individual who is not walking with God. Disunity is caused by an individual who is not walking with God. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." All together, all on the same page, all in one place. When that happened, the Holy Spirit of God was given. And that same day, about 3,000 people were added to the church of 120. Now, I'm not expecting 3,000 people to be added to our church of 100. Wouldn't that be a miracle? It was a miracle on Pentecost, too. But maybe we should expect that. Maybe the reason why about 3,000 aren't added is because we're not expecting that. And I don't know what we would do with 3,000. If God gave us 3,000, obviously he'd have a place for us to put them. But there's room around us still. There's room in the pew near you. We have room to grow. Amen? And one thing that's killing churches today is disunity. Proverbs 6:16, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Down to verse 19 says, "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Discord is disunity. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 through 18, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Look, if you're reading your Bible and you're walking with God and your prayer life is good, you're going to help bring unity in this church. One clear way to know whether someone is reading their Bible is whether they're bringing unity or disunity. Whether they're bringing harmony or disharmony. That's a sure sign. And when the members of a church stop reading their Bible, God's Word, the church starts to die. I said when the members of the church stop reading their Bible, the church starts to die. Look, it's not a one-man show. And truly, the church doesn't thrive or die simply on the pastor. He has a great part in it, but it's not all him. And it's not all you. It's a team effort. I'm going to say, when the pastor stops reading the Bible, the church starts to die. When the members of a church stop reading their Bible and stop walking with God in prayer, the unity of the church is affected. If you go into a church and there's disunity all over the place, there's a bunch of Christians not walking with God all over the place. God give us unified churches, and by that, God give us spiritual members. Let me thank you for reading your Bible. Let me thank you for praying and walking with God. The unity that our church has is evidence of your personal walk with God. The more you walk with God, the more unified we become, and the more God can use us. I think we need to at least fill the pews. I'm not ever planning on building another building. My dream and desire is to plant new churches. When our auditorium gets full, let's take people who are traveling from this city and let's plant a church there and help pay the pastor's salary for a couple years and get it going and plant another church, because we need a bunch of churches, not just one. But there's still room. There's still room. When the unity of a church is affected, the power of God on that church is affected. And when the power of God is affected, he doesn't add new members to a dying church. God doesn't add new members to a dying church. What's the point of that? If we want God's power upon us, and I believe we do, as a church unit, as a church body, we need to seek God's power upon our individual lives at home and at work. If we want the Holy Spirit of God to move through our services as a rushing mighty wind, and if you want to feel God's presence when you enter the doors of this church, then we need to be seeking his moving in our daily personal walk with God as well. Like that song, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me and he talks with me." Amen. You know, for our church to grow and continue to be unified, I need each and every one of you to walk with God and speak with him. And he promises that he will walk and speak with you. If we want unity in the church family, then we need to be seeking it in our personal family as well, in our personal walk as well. A spiritually minded church is a generous church with their time. And look, I believe we see evidence of spiritual mindedness in our church through our food bank ministry, and the workers in that ministry give up of their Saturday mornings to help others. I see spiritually minded in the bus ministry and those who drive the bus, those who work on the bus, those who visit for the bus route, giving up of their time. I see spiritual mindedness in those who help clean the church and they see something that needs cleaning it. I see spiritual mindedness in the fellowship of our church. You know, I've been in churches where you go walk in the door, you walk right to your seat, the sermon is over and you leave and you don't talk to anybody. Ever been in a service like that or church like that? That's no fun. Nope. Now, I've been in churches that you walk in and everybody is glad that you're there and you're talking and fellowshipping and you sit down and enjoying the service, and after the service is over, you don't want to leave. You want to stay and say hi for a little bit. I see that at this church. I see the fellowship of the believer here, and I believe that's sign and evidence of spiritual mindedness. A spiritually minded church is a generous church with their time, and you'll see that in evidence of the attendance at our revival. People that are going to make an effort to be there. And I thank you, men. I know a lot of you men are planning to be there. You're going to work all day. You're going to be hot. You're going to be tired. If you need to come in your work clothes, come in your work clothes.
Yep.
Amen?
Right.
But look, come and get that sweet, Holy Spirit, refreshing touch of God that we need so desperately in this country. Amen? The time spent working with the youth. I see it the adults that take time to work with the youth. Our kids on our VBS, our adults took off work. We're here all week long. I see that as a sign of spiritual walk with God, spiritual mindedness. And our Sunday school teachers and their working with the youth. A spiritually minded church is a generous church. And again, we were able, by God's grace, to put $1,200 in the principal of the mortgage this month without a special offering. And I told the trustees, I said last Wednesday night, I said, if God's people continue to give as generously as they are right now, we'll be able to put $1,200 on the mortgage principal every month and still have all the bills paid. That's a miracle, folks. Isn't God good? God's good. We're looking forward to the day again as a church where we'll no longer be in debt. When we get out of debt as a church, we're not going back in debt.
Amen.
If we need to do something or build something, we're going to save till we have the money to do it. Otherwise, I don't think that we're in a position to really need it.
Amen?
Amen. And again, happy anniversary, church. You're 36 years old. How does it feel to be 36 again? You're 36. May the Lord give us 36 more years of life as a church. 36 more years of life. If I'm the pastor for 36 more years, then I would be like 75. So you might have a new pastor by then. I don't know. I won't be able to see you by then, probably. I've lost all my hair. My sight has got to be next. But a church where Jesus Christ is lifted up, the gospel is preached, disciples are taught, families are unified, individuals are holy and walking with God, children obey their parents, the hungry are fed, sinners are loved, souls are saved, the Father is magnified, loved, and praised, is a church that the individual members are walking with God. In church, I really believe we have a sweet spirit. I really feel like we have unity here. I really feel like the Holy Spirit of God walks among us. I feel his presence when I come into this building and this place, and I feel his presence just speaking and talking with the members of the church. I feel his presence in the love we have one for another, and I believe he's here. And I believe he is pleased with the direction his church is going. But it's only going that way because you have decided, I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray. And look, if we want the church to be around for 36 more years so that there's a church still preaching the gospel when my kids are old and my grandkids are here, it's going to be you and your personal walk with God that does it.
That's right.
I thank you for the sacrifice you've done so far. Let's do it 36 more years.
Amen.
36 more years. Amen. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. So much truth in a children's church song. Let's keep it up. Praise the Lord. I know many of you have committed to attempt to read your Bible through this year, at least start it off, and I hope that you're still going strong. By God's grace, I'm in 2 Chronicles, second time through this year. Praise the Lord. You keep up the good work. My daughter, praise the Lord, is able to finish reading her Bible through this year. She started last year, and Miss Rose has read her Bible through. Anyone else read your Bible through already this year? My wife, Mrs. Dunbar, Brother Chapel. Brother, raise it up. That's a praise. Amen. Brother Carvel. This is exciting. This right here is where it's at. that thrills my soul as a pastor to see people who have been able to read their Bible through. Do you know how many of the percentage of Christians who have never read their Bible through? Let's be a church of the book. People of the book. The year of the Bible. We're preparing for the next generation in this book right here. This is where it's at. We got to keep him first and foremost in our hearts and our lives. And I thank you for the spirit we have in our church. It shows that this is preeminent, but you can't let your guard down. Okay? Maybe things have gotten busy. Get back in the book. Get back in the book. Don't let anything keep you from the Word of God. To be an exciting church spiritually, we need to be excited about our personal and family spiritual walk. Have a time of prayer and singing with your family each night before bed. When you get together with the family and friends in the church, have a prayer time among your activities. And this just kind of hit me, God just kind of slapped me. But how often are we supposed to pray? All the time without ceasing. You know what we need? One thing we should make sure we do as church members that get together, even if it's for a sandwich, we should have a time of prayer. God just hit me. We had the Clarks over, and we had deer steak and corn on the cob and watermelon, potato salad. Oh, if only manna tastes that good, right? But as I was looking over this message, I thought, you know what? I think we should have taken some time, and as families just bowed our heads and prayed. What if every single time the church family gets together in little groups, we say, look, before we go, let's pray together. Man, let's do it. Amen? Let's do it. Let's be spiritually minded. May the Lord continue to build his church, this church, through your individual walk with him. You are the key. Open your heart. Open your mind. Clear your schedule. Allow time for God. And see what he does. We have not yet seen the full potential of God's power on this church. I believe it's coming. If we'll allow him to work in us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. My first question to you this morning is, are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been baptized? If not, as soon as the piano plays in a minute, come to one of the altar workers at the altar and get that settled. My next question is this. How is your individual walk with God going? Is there something that needs to be attended to? Are you placing your family, yourself, and this church in a position of blessing, unity, and growth with your Bible reading and your prayer life? Let's make sure we mind God this morning. And as he speaks to our heart, if there's something we need to tweak, something we need to recommit to, something we just want to thank him for, let's make sure we do that. When God speaks to your heart, you answer. Don't wait. If God talks to you and says, I want you to go forward, I want you to pray, do that.